Hey, everybody. We've reached the halfway point of the 2019 Pro Bowl vote. Who do you want to see in the game? Vote today at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote.
Breeze back under pressure. The ball's intercepted. Jordan Lewis at the 22. Jordan Lewis intercepted Drew Breeze and returned the ball to the 17. The first Cowboy takeaway of the night. How about you, Jordan Lewis?
And that was the play that sealed an amazing victory for the Dallas Cowboys, 13-10 in Dallas this evening over the previously 10-1 and now 10-2 and previously invincible-looking New Orleans Saints. Now you've got to ask, what is happening? Mark Sessler here riding solo this evening. We'll throw it to the rest of the gang and myself in a few, or perhaps I will filibuster and speak for 45 to 50 minutes because this is a very rare occurrence in this studio. What a game this evening. This was an absolute delight of a Thursday night affair. And before we get going, big ups to our colleague, the great Gil Brandt, who was inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor this evening. As any Cowboys fan worth their salt knows, Brandt was an absolutely pivotal member of team history in Dallas, and much more than that, the draft, the combine, he's essentially the godfather of the NFL scouting combine. So a big evening for Gil Brandt tonight. Every time you speak to him and we have the chance once in a while, you learn something new. A wonderful guy. Congrats. And now let's get to this game. What an evening. I honestly know that I sound often cynical about a lot of these primetime affairs, especially the fact that Dallas is always shoved into them no matter what. But this was my favorite game of the year so far. It felt ripped right out of January. And I felt that Dallas set the tone immediately. And really in a way that I can't think of too many teams that have set the tone against an opponent the way that they did all season long. It was really incredible to watch, shoving New Orleans into a pair of three and outs right out of the gate. Drew Brees, an 18-year career, he has never until tonight opened 0-for-4 passing. The Cowboys, it seems like a minuscule stat, but how has that never happened? But it really did tell you what was going to happen for the rest of this game. And, you know, for the first time in eons, we saw an entity called the Saints punter emerging from the deep shadows. This guy has essentially been in bubble wrap all season. Seems like a nice job. Tonight he had to do some work. And it wasn't just their defense. You know, Dallas, what they did, they went right down the field on their first drive for a field goal. And it's the first time in five games that the Saints trailed. And I saw it on Twitter, everyone saying you cannot beat this team with field goals. You've got to score touchdowns. Absolutely true. But tonight was the aberration for that. And Dallas came right back later when they went up 10-0 on an incredible screen pass to Ezekiel Elliott. And you just got the feeling at this point, you wondered if it could last. In this season, where the war cry is that defense simply does not matter, well, tell that to the Cowboys, because they overcame later on an Amari Cooper fumble, and that's when I thought the Saints are going to, everything's going to flip and they're going to come back in. But minutes later, what did they do? A goal line stand on the Saints. And it was just another stretch of play where DeMarcus Lawrence, I thought he looked like an all-pro this evening, Jalen Smith shined, and rookie linebacker Leighton Vander Esch made it very clear that he is a vastly unique player, and he is going to be around for a long, long time. And we saw something ripped out of 2016, I thought, as Dallas just was able to chew up the clock with these long drives, keeping the Saints really in something of a deep sleep. And to close the first half the way they did, with a 16-play, 71-yard field goal drive, this was the thing. It ate up 9-plus minutes. This was the game that made you think that maybe Dallas can do something that no one else has been able to do against these high-powered offenses. This is how you mess with the Saints, who had about 31 yards of offense in the first half. Incredible. This was really a game that I found from wire to wire fascinating to watch. It flew by like a pitcher's duel. And there was a moment, I thought, when the Cowboys, you know, a different type of Cowboys effort, they would have been doomed when Randy Gregory had a terrible penalty in the second half. It was essentially a roughing the kicker call that put the Saints back in action, and they quickly scored to get up within three of the Cowboys. And you thought, this is at some point, this little thing where you're trying to squeeze the ball out of the Saints' hands with these long drives and you're not scoring much yourself, it's bound to crumble. But minutes later, that Jordan Lewis interception just outside of the 2-minute warning sealed it. And I think this game is a major fly in the ointment amid all this talk about the fact that defense does not matter, it still matters. Obviously, the trend is in the opposite direction, but tonight it showed differently. And for all the talk of Jason Garrett being, you know, weeks away from being fired, this was an incredible coaching effort by him. And it was an incredibly inspired affair by the whole team. A team that I've counted out, the whole NFC East I've counted out. I said some very unpretty things later in this show about the NFC East, which, you know, I'm going to ask our editors if they have time to maybe remove, because I look like an absolute idiot, not the first time. But 170 total yards for the Saints. And I think it tells you that Dallas is the team to beat in this division. Don't talk to me about the Redskins or an Eagles team that can't string wins together and looks utterly lost. So really, an inspired affair inside an NFC East division that needed someone to step up. We have the beginning of that right now. They moved to 7-5, and it's been a good week because they had the Thanksgiving win. You get this. And listen, what else can you say? Cam behind the glass. I don't know what's going on here. It's late at night. It's 8:41 in Los Angeles. Why do we have a phone line lit up? What's happening here?
I have no idea, but I'm going to go ahead and patch it through. Is that cool with you?
It is. I mean, I'm alone here, so I could use some company. Sure.
All right. Here we go.
The Cowboys win in a smackdown, and this Lander Vander Esch is rugged, downhill thumping linebacker who sits atop an Erica list for defensive rookie of the year. He's a rugged, tall drink of water. Shut up! I'm doing something football related. With a long, muscular frame, he's quick to the edges. He's instinctual, and he has fresh, young, vibrant skin. Yum, yum. He's the closest thing this team has to a real cowboy man. Oh, yeah. Now back to Hollywood. Football out.
Okay, that felt vastly unnecessary, but we will get back to real football analysis soon. Thank you, Erica. I'm not sure what's happening in your home or apartment, wherever it is you live. The Saints, listen, like the next four games, they have the Bucs, the Panthers, the Steelers, and then the Panthers again. Not an easy slate. The Cowboys have the Eagles, Colts, Bucks, and Giants. I think this is the team to beat in the NFC East. And before we get to the pod, a very happy birthday to our friend Mr. F out in The Hague, the Netherlands. Turns the big 5-0 today. We love you, my friend, and happy birthday to you from all four of us and the whole cast and crew. And now let's get to the Week 13 preview. It's a big show. Hang with us.
Around the NFL podcast is the cause and solution to the loose cannon's wine problem.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Whenever we can get out of here with Tamposi being tabbed as the one with the wine problem, I'm accepting that argument. I could think of a few others, but...
Do you drink the grapes?
Sometimes, but people tweeted these at us. Like we tweeted out, you know, and I was like, "What makes you think I have a problem?"
Great job by the listeners, I think, on the money drops lately.
Yeah,
getting better, doing nice. Year six or season six, and getting better and better.
Speaking of people interacting on Twitter, our holiday party is coming up, as you may or may not be aware. And I did have an idea at one point, Erica, to we get a plus one for the first time. Had the idea, why don't we, you know, auction off a date with Ricky Hollywood? But after seeing some of the activity on your Twitter lately, no, too many creeps out there.
Yeah. Oh my God, clean it up, guys.
Yeah, it's been bad.
I always thought of our listenership as typically almost essentially all male, which I think is still pretty accurate, but. Decent folk who were, if anything, maybe a tad lonely at times.
A little bit thirsty, yeah.
It's like the same way any of us were when we were young. You're just trying to, you're driftless to some degree. But I've seen another side now that I would strike as utterly concerned.
You're always going to have a couple bad apples. I choose to believe that these creeps are just a few, you know, sprinkle of the crazies out there. And the most of our listeners.
But just imagine if one of those creeps once said, auction and was standing next to us at the holiday party.
No, I think that's a good. I think
Then they're with you.
I showed
you've got
Dan.
Deal.
Yeah. Well, I showed all of you guys a lot of messages I've been getting, and then the first thing Dan says to me is, "And imagine if that guy was next to you at the holiday party, auctioned as your date." And I was like, "Okay."
That's what I just said. So
okay.
Yeah, I think in general, selling like a woman's body, probably not a great, you know.
It's not my body. Oh my god.
Thing to do on the platform.
If I go as a date, oh my god, Greg.
What is wrong with you, Greg? Selling your body?
Oh, I just assumed.
Is this a decent proposal?
I just assumed that came with the package.
What?
Well, I think the problem is some of the people tweeting assume that too, and that's yeah. That's where those people should not probably be allowed on the premises.
Let's keep packages out of this.
Yeah. All right. You heard at the top of the show, we talked some Saints, some Cowboys in Big D, and now we're going to get to the rest of the Week 13 games. Yes, it is. It's all over for the byes. So we got a lot of football to talk about. In fact, I think we should just get into it, boys. And we got to stay on schedule.
I missed the byes, but yes, you're right.
No bloviating. That's the rule for today's show.
All right.
Okay.
What about holding forth?
I'll call it out if I see some bloviation.
I mean, if you're spinning the finger, we need to actually pay attention to that signal this time.
Let's get into it. And we'll start with the early games. The Baltimore Ravens. They ain't dead. They lost three in a row. They got left for dead. Then they came out of their bye. They installed Lamar Jackson as their quarterback, and they've won two straight. So here they are, 6-5, second place in the AFC North, and right in the mix for the wild card. They now travel to Atlanta to face the Dirty Birds, the Falcons, who have seen their season crumble. Chris Wessling, three straight losses. They're 4-7. They're pretty much cooked in the NFC. So if Lamar Jackson, who looks like he's starting again for the third straight week, he seems set up pretty well here to continue the good situation for Baltimore here.
This is the destitute man's version of Cowboys versus Saints as far as contrasted styles. The Ravens are averaging 255 rushing yards per game with Lamar Jackson. Falcons are 30th in rushing DVOA.
Mm.
And you may say, hey, the Ravens ran all over the reeling Bengals and the cratering Raiders. Well, let me tell you something. The Falcons are dead last in defensive DVOA this year.
Wow.
32nd in Football Outsiders metrics. So can the Falcons defense stop Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards? And
is he going to lock it up?
Can Lamar Jackson compete in a shootout with Matt Ryan? I don't know.
Mm.
It's an interesting concept.
You sounded like you sort of do believe the Ravens can get this thing done. I thought you were maybe.
I think they can bend the Falcons' defense to their will, but I do not think that Lamar Jackson can pass with Matt Ryan if this gets into the high 20s in score.
No, they can do those 13, 15 play drives. I mean, they're still searching for balance. They came out trying to pass, and they're going to need to pass. They're trying to keep their receivers happy. I can't believe we're here at week 13. And the Falcons are out of it. I don't know. They were every
been
all
fighting
four,
it all year.
All four of us had them in the conference championships at worst. I can't believe it. But
attrition's
it's
censored.
It's true.
I mean, I guess if you can keep Matt Ryan off the field with long drives that are run heavy, but there isn't. The next gen stats shows that Lamar Jackson, the passer, is struggling in various areas. He has a 0 passer rating throwing into tight windows and like a 44 completion percentage throwing out wide. So it's like he is still a work in progress, and that's not a surprise. We knew that coming in. So they're sort of like kind of stuck doing what they're doing to some degree. And maybe, you know, being in a dome too, it'll help them with their speed on the ground.
Both the Falcons and the Panthers are two teams that have cratered in the last 3 weeks that I kind of thought a lot more of. So I am out of the game of thinking the Falcons are going to come on strong here. And I just think the Ravens are kind of in a good place here because maybe Lamar Jackson is going to make mistakes and he's not a perfect quarterback. He certainly is not polished at this stage in his career. But they have some positive energy around them right now with Jackson in the lineup, and you cannot say that for the Falcons. So I kind of feel like that will travel, and that's why I will not lock it up, but I think the Ravens will win this game.
We also keep talking about the Falcons' offense. In their last three games, their output point-wise, 16, 19, and 17.
Sounds a lot like last year.
They have no running game, and they've made some big mistakes, and the line's not playing as well. You're right, and this is a game where the Ravens' defense needs to stand up. The Ravens, to me, they're a fascinating team right now. They have so much at stake. Like this is like a script. They would reject this script in Hollywood right now. It's like the Lamar Jackson, the rookie quarterback's coming in, trying to save John Harbaugh's job. They just have a lot at stake each and every week, like, because this whole thing could get blown up. It's not just Joe Flacco, who returned to practice, by the way, Thursday. And so if he doesn't play this week, that means he's essentially...
I mean, he was using a walker. On
the field, limited, too.
Limited, yeah. But that means he's essentially, like, that he's getting closer to coming back. Here are some other guys that are up for free agency on this team. Terrell Suggs, C.J. Mosley, Za'Darius Smith, Jimmy Smith could be gone next year. Eric Weddle, there's some talk that he might not be back. So this is just a team with a lot at stake that kind of needs a big run.
You're kind of spinning this as like some Disney movie. I guess I can never get excited about the Ravens.
Yeah,
but
I do not need a 2.5-hour movie about the Ravens. I would never buy
it. I find John Harbaugh interesting, and I definitely find watching Lamar Jackson interesting.
All right, let's move on to the Denver Broncos, another team in the mix in the AFC. At 5-6, they had that big win at home over the Steelers. The week before that, they went to the Hub. Nobody wants to go into the StubHub because it's just a tough place to win a football game. But they did it. That was a joke. Everybody wants to go to the StubHub because it's like a glorified home game. Anyway, so here they are, 5-6, still in the mix in the AFC, and they get another 5-6 team. But the Bengals, Greg, are about as bad as a 5-6 team can be right now.
They are. They have one of the worst defenses in the league and an offense that's more or less cratered when A.J. Green was out of the lineup, but they do get A.J. Green
that's
back
three
this
craters
week.
In the first
a lot of craters. I don't know. Maybe it's contagious. No more craters. And it's such a tough matchup for Driscoll on paper. You mentioned, I think in our last show, Wes, just about the improving Broncos defense. Since week 6, I believe it is, they are the number 2 defense, according to DVOA. The Vikings and the Broncos, who both started out slow defensively, they're playing just very sound defense. It's not flashy, but they have one of the best linebackers, obviously, or edge rushers in Von Miller, and one of the best cornerbacks in Chris Harris, and a pretty just solid group overall otherwise. So it's kind of hard for me, even though I don't think this is a gimme for Denver, because I don't think they're good enough to have any gimmies. It just seems like their defense should be enough to go win a game on the road.
Also, Cordy Glenn did not practice again. They had to sign Andre Smith, who was just cut and who is not a very good tackle. And you're dealing with the best duo of pass rushers in the league. It's Bradley Chubb along with Von Miller. The one positive I think for the Bengals is that Joe Mixon has been running.
He's played awesome
week after week, but it gets lost in all their other
He's
issues.
Great.
Tyler Boyd is another positive. He's been fantastic this year.
The Broncos' interior offensive line and line in general is so bad. I'm sort of already backing off mentally of thinking this team can make the playoffs despite their schedule, because Case Keenum overcame that last week, but that's asking too much to overcome it each and every week. I mean, they are one of the worst groups in the league, and that part of the team hasn't really changed.
Is Vance Joseph in the process of winning his job back for next year?
I think if he won 8 games, he'd stay. That's just my gut feel of
their
Elway.
Defensive improvement will have a lot to do with it.
But they say
Musgrave, he coached has coached pretty well the last couple of weeks, especially last week. They cooked
is
up
Musgrave
some plays
a hot
us.
Candidate?
No.
Okay,
I think he had a nice week against the Steelers.
They say you could tell a lot about a coaching staff about how a team comes out of the bye. I am about to predict that the Bengals will lose all 8 of their games out of their bye heading into
that's hard to do.
The offseason.
Dan, the Jets are I have heard from a few people that the Jets are locked in, very interested in Bill Musgrave as a potential hire for next season.
Bill or Hugh, maybe.
Quick word on
it's not going to work out no matter who they are.
On Driscoll, a little bit like Taysom Hill as far as his skill set. He's an incredible athlete, very fast, athletic. Threw a couple of passes that should have been intercepted and weren't. Took a bad third down sack. Lifts his back leg at times like Blake Bortles. A little bit of mechanical
like
issues. But he's more fun than Dalton to watch. Like, he could be interesting to watch. I just think he's going to turn the ball over a lot.
Greg, it's time. It's week 13. Time to take out your internal calculator and let us know a path to the playoffs to the Broncos. Are we buying in?
Well, they
fire up the machine.
Because of what I just said in terms of their offensive line, they're 5-6, so they're a game behind the Ravens and Colts, who I both think are headed to 9 wins at the very least. So you got to win 5 out of 6. I don't think that's happening with this. I think they find a way to loop. Maybe the Browns game next week, especially, could be a tough one.
But it's still early enough where there's a clear path to the playoffs as long as they take.
Oh yeah, all these 5-6.
Yeah, the 49ers.
Heck,
and
the
Raiders
Bengals
too.
I'm almost afraid to say Marvin Lewis is dead because we've said it like 4 different times.
Well, Marvin Lewis is an idiot.
Rasputin.
Let's move on. Let's bring that one back, Ricky. The Rams.
We need a new calculator.
Ten.
That is don't have that.
It's also like it sounds like a lazy mathematician. He's going very slow.
I don't know what.
He's not good at his job. The Rams are 10-1. They are coming off one of the biggest, most memorable games in the history of their franchise, that 54-51 Monday night win over the Chiefs. So then they got the bye, and now they're in Detroit, Mark Sessler, to face a Lions team that, as was on clear display on Thanksgiving, just there's no weapons around Matthew Stafford right now, and it's not getting any better with Marvin Jones getting moved to IR. This is a game you can't look in the mirror. I don't care. I don't even need to confer with anyone How would the Lions ever keep pace with this Rams team in their current state?
I mean, if someone attempted to lock up the Rams in this game, I think you're off the podcast for good.
You're
because
done.
You just don't simply
cannonball. Shoot
this almost makes me want to try it just to see the reaction.
No,
but you're
I
right.
Think that you, they're you'd, too, go, you'd go full villain.
You'd go pure Hackenberg.
I mean, the Lions, too, beyond
gonna,
injuries, do not try it.
I'm not. I wasn't,
I mean,
it
is absurd.
I wasn't thinking of it.
I feel like there was all this hope around Matt Patricia as someone that was this, you know, he's a rocket scientist. He's going to come in and remold the identity of the Detroit
Lions.
It's
a bit of a straw man set up here.
Well, I'm just, okay. I don't know. It reminds me of like when Belichick took over the Patriots in 2000, and it's so easy to forget this, that his Q rating was so low back then, Bill Belichick, that, and I saw it from the Browns angle where he utterly was seen as a failure in Cleveland, where I thought otherwise, but the media hated him. And that first year with the Patriots, they went 5-11.
They hated him then.
They were awful, and it looked like Robert Kraft had bit off more than he can chew because he was still learning how to be an owner. And the next year, they open up 1-3. And
Ron Borges is like asking for him to be fired.
Right.
Eat
people
it, Borges.
Are piling on him, on Belichick, so hard. And then by the end of that year, they win the Super Bowl. So I guess the thing is, you have to be patient with Matt Patricia, but I feel like he's already started to grumble with reporters. He's had two or three incidents where he's telling reporters to improve their posture when they're in the crowd pinging him with questions. And so you have to have patience. But the problem with this game is you look across the sideline, and we have coaches today in Sean McVay and someone like Matt Nagy where in one season everything changes. And so it's just like with Matt Patricia – I don't know. I come out of this whole Lions experience wondering, like, what's been accomplished here?
Counterpoint, that feels really unfair to Patricia because when you have to, you look at the personnel and what's going on, like,
Hold on. My argument is that I'm comparing them to what happened with Bill Belichick, where a year and
right,
four
time.
Games in, people were saying it's an utter failure. We don't know. It's just that there's a lack of patience today, and it's not a good look for Patricia.
Okay. All right. I understand now. Like,
and
I
he took over a winning team, too, which is worth remembering.
But really, I mean, is there a winning team that's kind of more fugazi than with the Lions?
Well,
I mean, the Lions are a team that I don't care. They can go 9-7 from here until 20 years from now. And I just don't – it's no reason to think that you're taking over a team that's like on the cusp of becoming something special. They're another team that just kind of exists, and they need a lot of work to be done around them.
There's something uncomfortable about watching Matthew Stafford, who's one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks in the league, run such a dink and dunk boring offense. It's like, are you using his skill set the best? And that makes me think, are they gonna, you know, have Cooter around next year? But I'm more interested in the Rams. They're the relevant team in this game. And
I was trying to attempt not just to talk about the Rams.
Because you hate them.
Yeah, I just want to.
I do not hate them.
I'm curious to see what McVay does coming out of a bye, though, because I think great coaches, Reed, Belichick, they self scout. They come out of the bye, maybe looking a little different, maybe making some adjustments. Certainly, the defense could use some adjustments. How are they gonna handle Cooper Kupp's loss long term? So we'll see if they come out with some new wrinkles.
Aqib Talib expected to play for the first time in 2 months.
That's huge.
I mean, the Rams are 29th in points allowed since week four.
Aqib Talib might help solve some of that.
Let's move on. The Cardinals are 2-9. They're on a three-game losing streak. They got pasted by the Chargers. They went up 10-0 last week against L.A. and then gave up 45 unanswered points. So that kind of tells you where they're at as a franchise right now. They now travel to Lambeau Field to face the Packers, who have lost 4 of 5, and they have a chance now to get healthy. They got the Cardinals this week, Wes, and then the Falcons at home next week. They finally start.
Oh, Mark.
That's a great point because they're going to hang around.
Oh, they're going to hang around. And that brings us to Aaron Rodgers. This year's mission statement, we're just going to let it all hang out. That's what the playing style is going to be. And Randall Cobb said he's getting ready to light everybody up this week, talking about Aaron Rodgers. Great. That's fine. Whatever. I'm not buying in. There are only six teams in the league with fewer wins than the Packers this year. I'm not doing this where we're talking every week, are the Packers going to make the playoffs? I'm with Mark on this. The Packers are over. They're over the hump. They jumped the shark. They're done for the year. Sorry.
That's fine.
They're going to win this game. They're
but
gonna
if
win
they win three in
games.
A row, you're not allowed to come back. Okay. And all of a sudden be singing sea poems about Aaron Rodgers and okay. how fun they are.
All right.
It's a big decision. That's all I'm saying.
It is. I mean, I feel I'm living with it without too many concerns.
I'm allowed to enjoy Aaron Rodgers, but on this podcast, I won't say that they're going to be like
you
a
have
contender.
To, you have to be like Mark and just grumble throughout every great throw Aaron Rodgers
Well,
makes.
No, I will say this, though. The schedule, suggests they're going to go. Here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to go 4-1 down the stretch and be 8-7-1. But there's going to be some mathematical nonsense going on in week 17, and they're going to shove them into prime time or do something with it where we got to deal with it until the.
Well, we don't know if Mike Daniels is back. They are very banged up. They had 13 guys on their injury report. Randall Cobb maybe is coming back.
David Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari. You know, here's what I want is. What is the phrase this week? Like, let's let it all hang out?
Yeah.
Okay, so that
exactly.
So that was Wednesdays. But Sundays was also the whole narrative of Rodgers, like, ticking through the schedule one by one. I think as a society, the cognoscenti needs to stop, like, waiting to see what Rodgers says after each one of these games. They're like, what's his little thing this week? I mean, what's his thing this year? Like, he's just talking. Let's stop. Picking that's always the top story on ESPN, whatever Rodgers' catchphrase is after the latest loss. It's not working.
My other thing is, let's say they do get to eight
tired
wins.
Bit. Tired bit, football people.
If they get to eight wins by beating the Cardinals, Falcons, Jets, and Lions, I still don't know what to make of this team. They should beat those teams.
But they're mediocre. Mediocre team.
Like I said, only six teams have fewer wins than the Packers right now. They are basically a non-entity.
God, if they – that schedule, though.
And
if
Rodgers
they beat
is,
the Bears, they can win out. They really can. And 9-6-1 probably will get it done.
I think it would.
Here's the thing, though. Just based on – and I'll agree with what you were saying, Wes. Just based on what we've seen, they're much more likely to lose
right.
to one of those teams
I agree
than they are to make
I don't
run,
think. Yeah, I don't think magic is happening this year. They have issues. They have an absence of playmakers, which is inexcusable. Outside of Devontae Adams, they're waiting for these young guys to step up, which isn't happening. Jimmy Graham is just not Jimmy Graham, and now he's hurt as well. Aaron Jones has been a revelation. But there's just something that's not clicking with that team offensively or defensively, which a defense that didn't get a lot of help in the waning years of the Ted Thompson era, and now I think they're paying for it through some bad draft.
You know when you wait, when you see like a movie, a preview comes out, and like it gets you all a flutter? I know Wes hasn't like been into a movie theater in like 30 years.
I love movies, but Hollywood hates humanity, so I'm not going to
But point being, like we'll get excited occasionally for a preview,
we'll
you get fired up,
yeah.
and then you go watch the movie, and when it's a letdown – like, you want to convince yourself even. Like, this, I fall into this trap with some of these franchises that have been around since I'm a kid. It's like,
what
you want a manufactured joke. You want it to be, like, better than it actually was. And it takes you months to realize this product was subpar. And that is how I think a lot of people feel about the Packers. You want them to be this thing that the product is subpar right now.
The great thing is that they're playing a lot of teams. Last week, the Cardinals were playing on Fox, and Chris Myers was kind of talking about they're up early in the game, and he's like, this is a team that's up against the ropes. And I really enjoyed Daryl Johnston just jumped in right in. He's like, they're through the ropes. They fell through. And it's like they're playing all these teams that fell through the ropes. They're out of the ring.
Wes, need a final decision. Where are you going? You gonna hang in there? Or are you gonna
Wait,
I don't jump
like,
on the?
I don't like the parameters
train?
You set.
Are you gonna
up?
Hang yeah, in there,
is,
or were
Wes
the words
the
you
way
said about the Packers earlier meaningless?
I don't
you
agree
set the
to
rules.
Your terms.
Okay, can't have it both ways.
But I can't enjoy a quarterback
I'm saying
watching
you can't,
play.
You
he can have it his way.
You can you can't have it where you're gonna be burying them for a couple weeks as you've been doing now. And then you'll kind of poo-poo their win this week. And then when they win two more times, all of a sudden you'll be like, this is the Aaron Rodgers that makes everything so special in football. And I love it. And he is the master tactician out there. Like, you can't come back and be that guy this year. Next year you can do it again.
We've done this show for too long.
Look, all I'm saying is I should still be allowed to watch him play. Even if
I didn't say that.
Okay. I'm still allowed to get excited by Aaron
Rodgers.
He's
not giving up on them. That's what I'm taking.
But you're not
gonna, he hasn't
you're
given
not
up.
You're not going to grumble and curse if good things up. Happen to Aaron Rodgers or bad things happen.
No, I'm not going to grumble and curse, but I do believe that Mark has read this team well for the last month.
He has. There's no doubt about that. Mark, let's talk about your team now.
Great job picking the
Packers. Oh, the Cleveland Browns! The Brownies! On a two-game winning streak. and take out the abacus. Greg,
shouldn't we wait till we get a newer one? It's pretty early in the mix.
Is it 4-6-1? They're still okay if they win.
They have a 6% chance of making the playoffs according to
some of these.
They don't have an easy schedule.
Analytics. The problem with them is their schedule. If they had one of these cupcake schedules, then you can start really.
They do not.
All right, let's get into it. The Browns, 4-6-1. Nice win in Cincinnati last week, but now they're on the road against one of the hottest teams in the league, the Houston Texans, who have won, of course, 8 straight, including that Monday night victory over the tight Tunes. Greg, I'll tee you up, though, on this one. So the idea of whether you buy into the Texans as, despite the 8-game winning streak, are you buying into the Texans as an AFC superpower right now?
It's a good question. I guess no, I'm not. I want to see that type of performance that they had against Tennessee.
I'm with
another
you,
time. Offensively is where I'm not convinced that Lamar. That basically you have one playmaker in DeAndre Hopkins, one very promising young quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and not enough else. And so
superpower is a strong word,
right? Super. And I get it though. This is a unique year in the AFC. I think it's deeper than the NFC right now. We've said for years, the Patriots, especially last year, this is a very thin conference. Right now, you have 5 teams with 3 losses or less, and the Texans are one of those. But to me, they are solidly that 5th team until proven otherwise. But honestly, if they won convincingly against the Browns, that would show me something, because I think this is going to be a very tough offense to stop right now with Baker Mayfield. And if their defense can do that, it shows that their defense really is one of the better defenses in the league.
I feel like Cleveland has done something of a miracle over the last 2 weeks to not have a single sack on Baker Mayfield. And at some point, someone's going to figure out how to counteract whatever it is they're doing.
But he's good at sensing pressure and getting rid of the ball.
He is, but he was getting crushed. I mean, he's gotten better at it too, but there were some awful weeks where he was running for his life. And you still have Greg Robinson and Chris Hubbard playing tackle, and now you're dealing with something different than what the Bengals and Falcons were throwing at you, which is J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and the rest of that defense. And so this is a huge test for Cleveland to play on the road. And, Dan, like I totally buy into the Texans as a nuisance in the AFC, that if things – you don't win 8 games as a fluke. I mean, you it's good coaching. I really like Bill O'Brien and what he's done this season.
They could get a bye. We talked about it on the Twitter show. Just because of the schedule, I think they could get in there with 3 or 4 losses and get a bye.
I also think they're one of these teams that it's almost better if they don't get the bye, where they have to go win a playoff game
to get into
the bye situation, to get into that one of those teams with the bye and then play upset king. They are a team that if things went right, and especially if Lamar Miller continued to run the way he has last couple weeks, which I think is still a massive wild card, they could be a big nuisance.
I think they're a step below the top teams in the league, but I do think they have that ability when they click into that next gear where they are terrifying for anybody, and they should be, because they have so many playmakers on this team on both sides of the ball. And yeah, the offense is their offense is what I'm really looking to see some consistency out of. My boy Lamar Miller, my 14-time Making the Leap candidate.
They're a good run-blocking team.
And one for Wes, too.
And Wes had one in there. But, I mean, he shows flashes. I know he's not a running back that it's a centerpiece of an offense. But when he's able to move the ball and the line's blocking for him, Demaryius Thomas with the 2 touchdowns. I know he's not Demaryius Thomas anymore, but he's been a good enough number 2 so far since they got him, that DeAndre Hopkins can do his thing. I think there's a lot of potential for this team to get better.
Did you hear today's news, Dan?
What?
That there's a sandwich coming my way?
Ooh. What were the terms?
Baker Mayfield, Offensive Rookie of the Month.
Very nice.
Off of
yours, sandwich is coming back to me from you.
What would
Unless Sam Darnold gets healthy and becomes the player of the month.
Oh, stop it. It's not over yet. I still got a month.
Sam Darnold's going to
I got
come
December.
He might play.
How dare you?
He's going to get Rookie of the Month in December?
Crazier things about
Mayfield
me.
Did that in 3 games, too. He only had 3 games.
The number 8 offense in the league since week 12, according to Football Outsiders. And I think this is such an ideal situation for the Browns.
Since
I think this
week
is a tough
12,
matchup, by the
last
way.
Year.
I mean, for week
last
8,
week.
My bad. I think it's a tough matchup for Deshaun Watson, who that's your, I think, case for the Texans getting better. He's only started 17 games in his career. He's coming off a torn ACL, and he seems to be getting better and more comfortable every single week. And by the end of the year, who knows how well he could be playing. But you're going up against the Browns defense, who they don't rotate. They got about 11 guys who played 50-plus snaps last week, and they're all pretty solid guys. There's no weakness on this Browns defense right now.
I so want to do it.
do it. No, they're pretty heavy under.
I did too, but then I didn't want to create a civil war in the podcast. Dude,
oh, you wanted to go.
I was going to lock the Texans because I love them, but
what about a little lock-off?
Yeah,
because
do
you're
it.
One behind me.
How about
me?
A lock-off? Civil war!
Wait, this is why, Mark, though.
Not worth
you're,
it.
You're like, please, let's do a lock-off where I'm a touchdown underdog against an team on an eight-game winning streak at home. That's tough.
You guys don't have to sit next to Mark on Sundays. I will not be taking you on in a lock against the Browns. No, thank you.
I do find it funny that the lock creates more tension, and I think it has a lot more to do with the moods the people are in, I think, from a Dan and Mark front than even how our teams fare sometimes.
I've noticed that. I thought about putting a little rain here on the Brownies because I don't think the Texans – should be favored by as much, but I'm not going to. Yeah, it's like a touchdown favorite. I'm not buying
Plus,
that.
Plus, you already used this segment yesterday, there's that also.
I mean, you're trying to make up – I don't make rules for your segment.
God, what a mess.
No, you just cancel our segments.
Hey, we have now approached the halfway point of the 2019 Pro Bowl vote. Who writes this stuff, Erica, honestly?
Not me.
Who are your standout players this season? Which NFL stars do you want to see at this year's Pro Bowl? Make sure your favorite players get their spot on the AFC and NFC rosters. Vote today at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote or by using the hashtag Pro Bowl vote and including the first and last name of the player, the player's official Twitter handle, or a hashtag including the player's first and last name.
I do know who wrote, I do know who wrote that copy, by the way.
Wow. I like what you did, though, Dan. You were
not
honoring the
know the answer to that, Greg?
What? What is it? Who wrote
it? I'm not going to tell you now.
Bartlett?
No, it's not Bartlett. It's someone who works under Bartlett, and he has a nickname that includes the word spaghetti in it. It's Eddie Spaghetti.
You're certain of that?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to have a conversation.
I like that you're honoring the Pro Bowl by giving the same effort that like the offensive linemen give in the first quarter of the Pro Bowl.
They synced it up nicely there. Moving on, the Colts 6-5. They've won 5 straight. Wes can't stand up. And now they travel to Jacksonville, the big chlorine tank, to face the most disappointing team in football. They've lost 7 in a row, 8 out of 9, Mark Sessler, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh, the Colts look like they're set up to keep rolling and keep the heat on the Texans.
Sure, why not? I do think they were fortunate to draw the Dolphins last week, a team that has zero ability to close, because it is a game where Andrew Luck threw 2 interceptions and lost a fumble, but they're a team that can overcome those mistakes. And the one thing I love about this year's Colts is that what's happening is you're getting like the best version of T.Y. Hilton we've gotten in a while, and they take players like an Eric Ebron and revive their careers in this offense. Like, this guy's career was essentially over. It's an argument to trade these guys that are on Team A where nothing's working after you drafted them and give them a new fresh start.
I mean, it's weird with Ebron because he was with Stafford, and again, the lines are so hard to figure out. You would have thought he was in a good place in Detroit, who drafted him in the first round once upon a time, and it just never clicked, and he goes and plays with Andrew Luck, and he's the most productive.
I think it's a lot of neck ups stuff too,
it's
and
coaching.
It's coaching. It
I think one thing the Patriots do well is, and other great coaches and staffs do, they focus on what players do well. And I think Frank Reich has figured out what Ebron does well, and they're not trying to have him be a 70-snap-a-game, do-everything tight end. They're just letting him do what he does in the red zone.
And that's jump balls and box out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And don't ask him to do other stuff because he'll mess it up.
They're doing that with T.Y. season. Hilton. They're doing that with all the running backs. I mean,
Reich has been phenomenal.
He's been great.
It's been a rough.
It's a mirror opposite of what the Jaguars are offering their fans right now.
It's a rough 2018 for the Cooter, by the way. Couldn't get Ebron fixed. Now we're realizing that.
Yeah, so you know he's
now
been,
his
you
job's
know,
in trouble.
Cooter's been unmasked.
No Leonard Fournette in this game was suspended. We did not mention in our last show, I don't believe, but I think that's a pretty big factor. He was running quite well, maybe the best that I think he's ever run in his brief time after coming back from the hamstring.
And the Jaguars lost another offensive lineman last week. Andrew Norwell, their big signing, is on IR now, and their quarterback, Cody Kessler, is 0-8 in his career, and he's a game manager. You're asking him to do this without Leonard Fournette. And then on the other side of the ball, Jalen Ramsey not practicing yet this week. Doug Marrone said he has a high level of concern over Ramsey's availability. You're getting a very banged-up Jaguars team.
Can't look in the mirror here, right, Wes?
No, you can't. No. I could not look in the mirror. This Jaguars team, not to mention the infighting.
I think you could.
I cannot because of the Jaguars.
For what it's worth. I mean it.
Because of their locker room.
I'm not trusting the Colts as a guaranteed win any week. I thought that last week.
Our
they're on the road.
Board feels the same way. They picked
it's
them
a
like
division.
Four weeks
it's a division this, game.
By the way,
they just played each other.
On that in a moment.
They just played each other and
I
it was
agree
very
with
tight.
You. They could lose this game and they're banged up themselves. They lost Jack Doyle, who's a very good tight end.
They have
end.
Like no healthy tight end right
Marlon
now.
Mack is in the concussion protocol. He practiced fully on Thursday, but he still has to gain clearance.
Losing Jack Doyle is significant. Everyone around the team said he was a great run blocker. One of the like all their receivers run block well. They have a running game in Indianapolis. I want to say I'm sorry to Wes and the Naheem Hines family because I was really dogging him. I don't even know if I did it on the podcast, but we were having conversations and I was wrong about Naheem Hines.
You don't trust Mo Alie-Cox to step up into the tight end role and play.
Is he healthy?
He's got a calf injury.
Naheem Hines made last week on the run.
That was partly why I wanted to apologize. I was just like, I'm sorry, I wronged this man. He's fun.
I have a quick statement for the subreddit. Can we get the missive music, Erica? If you want to be recognized by this podcast in the picks challenge, the lock it up picks challenge. Subreddit around the NFL, do me one favor. Go to your local Home Depot or any Bed Bath & Beyond and purchase yourself a mirror.
Yes!
Why?
But you can't put it together. Because
who'd they pick last week?
Well, from my understanding, they've been picking the Colts on the reg.
It's just
a mirror. There, you can get a cheap one. You get one of those stand-up ones that you put right against your closet door or, you know, what your bedroom door, and you close it.
That's
why full body.
I was asking why, though. What are the games I wanted to
– No, here's the thing. They played. They locked up
in,
the Colts against the Dolphins, and they came at me, and I love the subreddit. Fair. But, like, they said, you know, shove it, Sess, because I said whoever – locks up the Colts, I would assassinate them. You simply cannot lock up the Colts against
someone,
the Dolphins.
Someone
and
would argue, though,
it.
You buy a mirror and you look at yourself when you create a game without rules, it's anarchy. Just make it 7 points.
If it's above
7 points,
there's a slight annoyance that
it.
They have a better record than
you can't take it.
Than everyone
then
in
you
the
couldn't
room
have taken the Colts last week, by the way. That would have
it's
eliminated
easier just
them.
To buy a mirror and look in it once
there you
while.
Go. That's all. That's
just
the simple
in the mirror.
Thing. Don't get caught up over the rules stuff. Just get a mirror.
Yeah.
That's I mean, what is
that
this?
That is
like,
the rule.
You know, 6-year-old soccer, no rules, just kicking the ball around.
And I love the subreddit. You guys are loyal and everything, but it's
they're wonderful.
A mirror.
Throughout life, Greg, often you have to just sit down and take a long look in the mirror and evaluate, and the subreddit needs to.
The Buffalo Bills, 4-7. They've won 2 straight. Good job by them. And what was shaping up as a historically terrible season – maybe it won't be great in terms of when it comes draft time. Maybe winning these games is not the best thing that could happen to the team from Orchard Park. But they're showing a little pluck at 4-7. Now they head to Miami to face the Dolphins. And again, thank you. Thank you to the Colts and Andrew Luck for doing God's work, keeping the Dolphins from moving to 6-5 and staying square in the middle of the playoff picture. Instead, they're 5-6. And really all but cooked Chris Wessling. So this is kind of 2 AFC East also-rans, unless the Dolphins went out.
Thank you for throwing this game my way.
Yeah.
These two teams, my favorite metric for offense is drive success rate. These two teams are 29th and 30th this year, and that's about how they play when you watch them on TV. They're pretty unwatchable. Josh Allen is fun. I wonder if he'll ever learn to throw with touch. But one way to evaluate running quarterbacks is to treat their runs as passes to themselves and then put that in the stat line. And if you do that, Josh Allen had an awesome game last week, 99 yards rushing. He is a dynamic athlete, fun to watch, except when he's just throwing the ball like 100 miles an hour into the dirt. But
had about 3 or 4 throws that were pretty awesome.
Yeah, phenomenal. And then on the other side, like, how do you even evaluate Ryan Tannehill when they won't let him pass on 3rd and 10 and his offensive line and wide receiver core are ravaged by injuries? I don't even know. I don't expect him to be the quarterback much longer.
And there's all this, Ryan Tannehill is going to finish the season with the best completion percentage of his career. If I hear a single – it's this stat they keep throwing around about Tannehill, because there are these, like – pro Tannehill guys that are Miami people that want to like tell
Tannehill.
You how great that no Tannehill is much
than
more
Luck.
Than you realize, and it's like no,
there's a lot of straw men on the Kissing Cousins side right
no,
now.
No. Dolphins
is,
fans love Tannehill.
No, there
they
are.
Think he's a
there
top
are.
10
there
quarterback.
Are. There
give
are.
Me a break.
That's, you're
there
right. Because people noticed the 3rd and 10 at the end of last game. The drive before it was also 3rd and 10, and they ran the ball. It's 3rd and Tannehill. That's like what it is. It's like 3rd. No, we can't
let
Tannehill.
You never want to be there.
Kenny Stills had some comments today. The most telling, I think, was he said, I can tell you I'm getting open. I can't tell you why I'm not getting more targets. He has 108 yards over his last 6 games. Devontae Parker was out there last week. Stills was out there, and they're not going to their wide receivers. I don't know what, you know, what the reason is. Mike Gesicki is not turned into a good draft pick.
Not
I know
good.
It's early, but
no.
you can tell sometimes. And it's not a great sign that Cameron Wake is still their best defensive player. Like every year I've made that point around this time of year on the podcast.
What it's about not, Xavier and Howard?
This is like the okay.
Yeah.
All right,
he made one of
their
the
best
beautiful
guy in the,
interceptions
the best
last
guy
week
in the front
two,
seven.
Two
best
of them.
No, but one of them, the
I thought
leaping.
Both were great.
I mean, they had – I think that Kenyon Drake played a nice game, you know, before the wheels
fell off.
And now
he's injured.
But they might win this game, and then they're 6-6, and they're tied for, you know, whatever.
No. Erica.
No parade.
Well, if the Packers were 5-6, we would be freaking out in this studio.
Yo.
So,
Erica, you want to hear something funny?
Sure.
A couple of years ago, there was a on-camera talent personality for NFL Network.
Yeah.
That had close ties to Kenny Stills. And in the newsroom, Greg made a disparaging comment about Stills. And it resulted in a back and forth, a loud argument going back and forth.
I wasn't loud.
It was uncomfortable.
Well, Greg what? And this individual that got to the point where I'm not going to say you needed to be separated, but there were separate meetings to talk to both of you about.
Well, he was taken out of the newsroom.
You were in the right. You were in the right, as I recall. And this man got so hot about you making a negative comment about his friend, his boy, Kenny Stills, that the whole newsroom shut down.
It was
one of my favorite NFL media moments.
It went on and on. And then actually it went on and on. And he was taken out of the newsroom. And then someone – A shadowy league figure came back in and like saw that there was like a few embers still on the ground and like lit another match and then it restarted again.
It was Gil Brandt.
It was a problem.
At one point, the guy said, "I will challenge you to an open debate that would, I guess, would be put on the internet."
What?
And you know, Greg would
challenge Greg to
it. I'll do that. I don't care. Why would I do that? I don't want to do that.
No, I said I
am just getting more and more angry.
I was proud of my response, which was I can see in retrospect, wildly annoying. But I said, I don't think that's something people would be interested in. He wanted to have an open debate about Kenny Stills.
Should we say who it was?
No, never. By the way, Kenny Stills, he was in the right on some level because Kenny Stills had a great year the next year. He's had a pretty nice career, got a nice second contract.
Mark, you can
so
say
there you
who
go.
It was.
I said it was Gil Brandt.
Yeah, we're
it
definitely
not Gil Brandt.
It's never.
I don't even think this man is.
You got to take that out. You got to take that out. We got to keep it all mysterious.
Right.
Let's move on.
Let's see. Gotcha. I was never going to say it, but this is exactly what I wanted you to think that it could come out. And then you would have to make edits.
Because we're being, I don't want to be a jerk on another time.
Say no more.
Leave it in the past.
Don't worry another about time.
It. I'm saying, I'd be like, I was already a jerk last time. Let's not double back.
And
on
one last point, Josh Allen. He had to do a couple kneel downs, and it cost him a 100-yard rushing game. Rule change. Make that a team rushing negative yardage.
I agree with
not
that.
Individual stat.
That
or just don't count
stat.
It at all.
I agree.
All.
I saw something that Brady leads the NFL, and it was a ridiculous amount of kneel downs that he had, over 200. Give him back his rushing yards.
Game's over at that point. You don't have to account for the stat.
Gil was so angry. I could not believe.
Gil is so composed typically that it was a really harsh.
I mean, it's funny you say that because Gil really was really angry at me one other time.
Really?
About 10 years ago.
I'm sure without reason.
Before
everyone
I worked
gets a turn.
Here. Before I worked here.
What's the common thread, the denominator here that seems to be occurring over and over? It might be Greg.
Or, you know, reporters.
Whoa!
Oh, no. That was uncalled for.
Take that.
What's wrong
that was
you?
Uncalled for.
Well, you come
ridiculous.
At me. What do you expect?
That's ridiculous.
The Chicago Bears. That's
that person
limits.
Didn't
that
come
is off
at
limits.
You.
That's a Hall of Famer, man.
Oh, I love Gil. You know, I'm just
Chicago saying. Bears are 8-3. They are the team of around the NFL.
You're darn right they are.
And they deserve the credit because they've won 5 in a row. And I was really impressed on 85 hours rest. They went into Detroit on Thanksgiving, took care of business, a well-earned mini-bye for our Bears, and now they get to go to the Meadowlands. And good timing, too, because if the Giants find a way to hold on against the Eagles, Greg, they are on a three-game winning streak, and maybe the New York media is a little overexcited, but in the locker room, they would certainly feel they were still alive in the NFC East. But you wonder if the air goes out of the balloon after that loss.
I don't think they'll try less, but I do agree that it's a beautiful schedule setting up for the Bears, that the two starts they're getting with Chase Daniel, and Chase Daniel is expected to start in this game, according to Mike Garofolo, are against the Lions and the Giants. I mean, that is perfect. That's like a football gods, like, hey, you're having a good season. Let's let Chase Daniel start against two lackluster defenses in games that we're going to have a chance to win on the road, because even though his numbers were solid, they were misleading. He missed throws accuracy-wise, and he really missed just seeing the field. I think he's a fine backup, and he gives them a chance to win this game. But if they do win this game, it's another reminder what a star Matt Nagy has been. What a great hire he's been, and winning games with Chase Daniel and, you know, Trubisky earlier in the season when he was struggling, like, creating yards for those guys and creating open receivers, he's done an awesome job.
Never talked about as a coach of the year.
I think he should be in there.
I agree with you. And like the window with Chase Daniel, though, is perfect, assuming it ends this week. Because after this, you have the Rams and the Packers, which is going to – that's a rough two-game stretch for the Bears.
I don't think the Giants are
– expected to be back.
That's right.
I don't think that – but we heard that about this week, too.
No, he really is expected to be back this time. Let's go above Nagy. I did executives of the year candidates this week, and Ryan Pace is number one. Ryan Pace, Chris Ballard right there at the top. The Saints duo of Jeff Ireland and Mickey Loomis are in the running. You can put Andy Reid and Brett Veach in there.
I don't know. Jeff Ireland. People tried. They couldn't do it.
I don't know if it was a Pace decision or a Nagy decision, but to keep Vic Fangio, if he kind of made the incoming coach do that, like, that was so key.
I like what Vic Fangio, he was
Vic Fangio.
What advice would he give his defensive players for stopping Odell Beckham Jr.? And he said, go to mass Saturday night.
Funny. You have something
to say? No, one last thing. I do wonder sometimes the whole Pat Shurmur head coaching experience. I don't know how long this is going to thrive.
I don't think Giants are as bad as their record. This is not I'm a little worried about them with Chase Daniel as the starter on the road. I think the Giants are about the same as the rest of the NFC East teams.
The Panthers are 6-5. Which wouldn't seem too bad, but then you remember 3 weeks ago they were 6-2. 3 plus 2, equals 5. Nailed it. Three-game losing streak, another disappointing loss, this one at home. You know, road losses you could sometimes understand, especially Pittsburgh, even though that was a blowout. The loss in Detroit was a tough one, but it was a one-point game and the two-point conversion attempt at the end, so it was a little bit tricky. The Seattle loss is just a killer because they should have won that football game, and you wonder if there's something wrong, Mark Sessler. Luckily, they get a stinker of a team in the Bucks, but they are coming off a win as well, so they might be feeling a little good about himself after a long losing streak goes in the rearview mirror.
It's a weird time to do this, but I have to somewhat soften my stance on the Panthers, where I had expressed utter disbelief, because you know, look at that Seahawks game, and what I saw was the most exciting Panthers offense that I've watched in a long time. That they are incredibly, they're speed-based. I think the Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton in that game, just there are moments of game flow where they are rumbling down the field against Seattle. And I love what you have with DJ Moore. And I do think that here's the thing. You can't dismiss them entirely without dismissing the entire NFC East, which I happily would do, except one of them are going to get into the playoffs. And I think that game was on a defense that's not what it was, and it's on a hideous afternoon by Graham Gano where things just – they should have won that game exactly.
And the inability to pick up 1 yard when they need to.
Right, which is important, though. That's an important football skill, pick up a yard. You had three or four different chances in that game where if you pick up a yard, you win the game.
I did not love their play.
So that's on them.
From a team that cut its inside runner, C.J. Anderson.
I just wish – I love watching Cam play, and you're right, it's the best Panthers offense. I just wish they were with the Panthers defense of 2015, 16, or 17.
Never seems to work out that way.
Because that team, if you put this offense with one of those defenses, that team is in the mix for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Let's move on to the next game. Got a lot of games to get to, fellas. Got to keep moving. The Chiefs, 9-2. They took the L. Put up 51 and still lost. I don't think that's ever happened before. So They had a week to think about that. They had their bye. And now here's their get-healthy game, the Oakland Raiders. They go to the black hole. The Raiders stink. They can't play ball, Chris Wessling, and the Chiefs are going to beat them by 20 to 27 points. Yes?
How can anybody have any problem with that statement? You watch Matt Judon get three sacks in a row against one of the worst right tackles in the NFL, and now Dee Ford's coming in there to face the same right tackle, or Chaz Green, who the Raiders signed this week, who might even play. Who knows? But this you can't protect Derek Carr, and the wide receivers that they're running out right now with being banged up, you can't evaluate this guy.
This is the most
broken offense.
This is the most blah team. I can't remember such a nothing burger team this early in the season.
You run an end around.
There's not many players.
They're depressing.
They're running end arounds with a 33-year-old Jordy Nelson on a bum knee, and he can't beat anyone to the corner. A defensive lineman he can't beat to the corner.
You know, you get like when you hear Amari Cooper say they weren't using me the way that I would have used me. A lot you always hear players say that. And a lot of times it's a bunch of nonsense. But when it comes to the Raiders.
Yeah,
it's absolutely true, and it's such an indictment on John Gruden. Beyond all the essentially tanking, like we should be seeing competent coaching.
Well, how about a guy like Carl Joseph, who was a first round pick and was benched earlier in the year, and now is one of their best defensive players? It's like I know he was injured for a while, but it's like he was in the doghouse.
They almost tried to cut. They were going to almost cut him. The most significant development to me in this game and this week was Eric Berry returning to practice for the Chiefs. I mean, you just don't know what kind of player he could be when he returns. I don't think it's going to be this week, but it's been a year and a half since we've seen him. One of the best defensive players in the league. What an addition he could be to that team if he's anywhere near his old status.
Let's pick this game.
Well, this is one of those games where like a beat writer would be like, if they lose to the Raiders, I'll walk back to Kansas City from Oakland. But I will
not do it.
I will go Chiefs. 10-9.
I was joking, but I like your score. Wes, we have to hear from a certain sponsor, don't we?
Well, you may or may not have heard, but Lowe's is the new home of Craftsman.
Oh, no.
Which means that at Lowe's, you'll find an ever-growing selection of mechanics tools, tool storage, and more, in-store and online, ready
to help.
It's
that folksy charm again with Wes. He should be doing these reads every week.
It's like Collinsworth reading. Ready to tackle projects throughout your home. If one of those projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet.
He's also like the light on.
He's also like the guy, like even if you guys disagree with this, he's the guy of the group that seems most likely to be using a ratchet wrench. Now, maybe you would disagree, but I think he just seems like the guy that'd be.
I think you're sort of dismissing Dan and I with
No, I'm saying, like, but he's the guy who would get hired for the commercial. Even if in real life you guys are the ones doing it, he'd be the guy that gets hired.
I don't agree with that at all. Yeah. But
go ahead, Wes.
You guys want to talk about all this stuff, all this nonsense, but let me tell you about what's really important. A 3-degree arc swing, you guys. Do you know what that does?
Add some degrees?
We didn't either.
Apparently, Dan and Mark have no idea what it does.
Oh, that three-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots.
Absolutely.
Just saying he connects with a rural listener, you know?
Greg just called me a hayseed.
That is absurd.
Will you stop offending everyone, Greg?
Little do you know that I am actually doing this read with a piece of straw in my mouth.
And a tall glass of lemonade. All right, do you almost
know? No, it ain't me.
The one thing I would say is you got to pick up the speed a little bit, the tempo.
Ouch!
Well, it's a little hard when three other people are doing the
same
thing.
Yeah, you know what? How about just a tad of encouragement?
Listen here, Waldorf and Statler.
Good ref.
That 3-degree arc swing should make it easy to tackle any auto or DIY project on your list. Plus, they come in a gunmetal chrome finish that's not only sharp-looking, it makes them corrosion-resistant. What color is this? That's gunmetal chrome.
Yes.
I got a wallet that's gunmetal.
Get to the offer code. Get to the offer code.
West 14-minute
ad read.
Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/around. That's Lowe's.com/around.
All right, Greg, you're on the read next week. But you're doing great, Wes. It's very focused.
Yeah, thanks.
The charm.
We interrupted you too much.
Nuh-uh.
The J-Men, the New York Jets, are 3-8. They're riding a 5-game losing streak, and now they head to Nashville to face the Tennessee Titans, who once upon a time some people took seriously. I don't know if that's the case anymore because they couldn't beat the Colts. on the road. They could not beat the Texans on the road, and as a result, they're now 5-6 and in dire straits. The good news here, Greg, is that the Jets are as forgettable and bland as any team in football right now, and might not even have Sam Darnold back for this week, but we will see. It looks like it's going to come down the wire.
Yeah, and the way McCown played last week, you know, I don't know if they'd have a better or worse chance to win. McCown looked fine. He looked kind of back to being the normal McCown last week. Wow. Here's the thing. The Titans are the AFC's Packers, though. They've kind of shown us that they're a mediocre team, but their schedule is so incredibly easy. We're going to be talking about them. I mean, yes, they could stub their toe, but their next 3 weeks are Jets at home, Jags at home, Giants on the road. So that
they'll lose one of those.
They got a chance.
They're
even
terrible
if,
on the road.
Right. They have one of those on the road, and it's against the Giants. I'm just saying they have the easiest schedule in the league, period.
Four out of five
at home. The last two are tougher, Redskins and Colts, but those aren't, you know, world beaters. And they, I just think over the next...
What?
I'm saying over the next couple weeks, Jets, Jags...
Don't talk about the Colts that way.
Jets, we'll see where they are in week 17. I mean, I hope you're right, but I'm not just penciling that in. Jets, Jags, and Giants... You know, it just wouldn't surprise me if Mariota, and who's been playing a little better overall, I would say they figure out a way to coach up and win those games. That's it. And then they're 8-6 in a pretty crowded race.
This is a team that has so much more energy at home than it does on the road. You can't expect them to go into the Giants in 3 weeks and win. I mean, I know you love that schedule, but I agree that they're –
they'll trip up somehow.
And they don't have much going on. They have Corey Davis as their one receiver. They, like, have no one they can count on after that. They don't have a running game. Deion Lewis is a great player, I think, but they don't really have a running
game. We saw it again on Monday. I'll use the line again. It's a 120-yard field with a 10-degree incline, watching them try to move the ball down the field. It's a tough watch. They need to be more dynamic. And Marcus Mariota has one of the great statistical games in terms of accuracy ever, but at any point in that game where you're like, ooh, the Titans are dangerous out here.
It was like the most – it was very much Mariota in a nutshell because the stats were good. You saw the nice mid-range throws, and yet he, unlike Watson, I don't think handles pressure – as well. He's not using his feet as well, certainly, as Watson. And so you're just sort of wanting a little more.
Why are you throwing the ball 45 times with Josh McCown?
Because their offense coordinator is not good.
They move.
You know what?
That checks out. I need no further.
They moved it. You know, they moved the ball okay against.
But why
the Pats?
So conservative with Darnold? And then let Darnold fling it around that way when he's in there. Come on.
In general, the idea that you would throw it that much with McCown, it just with me with the Jets, and I love the Jets with all my heart, but as long as McCown's playing, and there's really nothing to talk about.
No, you're right.
No,
they just they're just going to exist.
Here, I have one point on the Jets.
What is it
to talk about? That penalty. People always talk about penalties. Penalties are overrated. The Jets lead the league in the fewest amount of penalties. That's how much not having penalties.
Well, I guess it's more like if there were two equal teams. If you're a trash bag team,
I mean, over the course of the
penalties.
Season, a lot of great teams have a lot of penalties.
I would not mind. The Jets are still hanging in the periphery for the number one pick. I would not mind if they lost all or most of these games down the stretch, and if I somehow can get Darnold to have, you know, get back on the field and look good, that you could have best of both worlds. But I'm just annoyed that that's my best case scenario again here.
But you could also trade the first pick and get a bounty and start rebuilding your team.
Maybe. That's the intro to my executive of the year column, if you'll check it out.
Ooh,
I'm happy. Well.
NFL.com/whistling. The Minnesota Vikings 6-4-1. They beat the Packers at home last week. A big win in their quest to get back to the playoffs. And now here's a big test. They go to Foxborough, the throne of ease, the Pats, who, again, beat up on an AFC East foe, the Jets last week. So they're 8-3, and all of a sudden here they are locked in as things stand at the number two pick marks, the number two spot in the AFC playoff picture. Your thoughts on this game? It's a good one.
It is, and it's you know, I feel like with the Vikings, because I kind of find myself to be a bit of a pocket Vikings fan. I incorrectly lauded them for Team of ATL 2 years ago and never heard the end of it.
Butcher that one.
Last year, thought that they were the team. We could have seen them play at home.
It's
in
mostly the
Super
voices
Bowl.
In your mind that you couldn't hear the end of it from. But
right.
Yes.
Well, that's fair. But, I mean, you're 6-4-1, and I don't know how excited I should be that you beat Green Bay, because you know how I feel about them. This is the game where
– wait, how do you feel about the Packers?
I mean, we just rewind 21 minutes. We've been through it. But if listen, if you want to turn heads and have – I think this would be the game where if you're Minnesota and you want people to start to buy in and you want to tell yourselves we can buy into ourselves, that you go and beat a Patriots team that I find to be less than invincible. I was not, like, overwhelmed.
So they're invincible?
They're invincible. I was not overwhelmed with that Jets performance at all.
I was not. I feel the same way. Like, I feel like Greg had some takeaway, like the Patriots are back. That was an impressive game, and it's tied 13-13 in the third quarter.
That was not my takeaway. It was some underlying things that I think are positive with the team. That they're essentially healthy, and the parts of the team that I want to come together, especially offensively, that they're healthy.
That's
and they
fair.
Can start getting some continuity, and you saw something. It was their best pass rushing game for what it's worth all season. No
I'd like to see some things like Brady to do his trademark stuff. They get the ball right before halftime. Can you do a 98-yard drive and do your trademark thing where you score right before the half and then score coming out of the half, and they couldn't do it. To me, that was a test, and I didn't see him pass.
I'm with you. I mean, the Vikings, you know, they haven't – the whole thing all year long, they're not the defense from last year, but they right now lead the league in sacks per game, and they lead the league in allowing the fewest big plays. I like that against New England because if you got a little bit of a better Tom Brady version against the Jets just because they couldn't do anything, get in his face and disrupt him cause chaos for New England.
I think what a great matchup up front on both sides. I think it's a great test for both these teams. For the Patriots offensive line, who's had a lot of injuries at tackle, but they're healthy right now, who's a pretty good run-blocking group. Can they push Linval Joseph and Sheldon Richardson around? Can they protect Brady? And then on the other side, as I said, the Patriots pass rush had their best game of the year. Can they get after Kirk Cousins? I think I'm really excited for this. Gilmore versus Thielen.
Are you going to lock it up?
A lot of good matchups. And I think the Patriots do respond at home, and I'm going to lock it up.
Oh, yeah. Let me speak on that as well, Greg. The Patriots from about week – I don't have the stats, but I can tell you it's going to be close. From week 13 through 17, going back the last decade or so, they're probably playing in the neighborhood of 800 to 850 ball, maybe better. And I need a win in the worst way in this lock competition. I'm three games out. I'm in almost win-out territory here. So I'm going to put myself in a no-lose situation. I'm going to lock up the Patriots, take care of business at home against the Vikes because they always do this time of year. And if it works against me, hey.
Yeah, that's a good way to
throw in a sleaze.
Then you're happy.
I'm covering my bases.
But which would you – I almost feel like you would rather the Patriots – when it comes down to it and there's 30 seconds left in the game and the Vikings are lining up for a field goal, you're hoping that goes in to win the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And it's not even close.
Patriots do average almost 15 more points per game at home than on the road.
Everything you guys have been – yeah, they're undefeated at home, not been good on the road. Everything you're saying that this isn't the same Patriots team, it's absolutely supported in every analytics. They have their lowest ELO rating, which is 538's way of doing it.
What's an ELO?
Since 2009.
Like Greg ELO?
Or Electric Light Orchestra.
They're eighth or – I think they're eighth or ninth in Football Outsiders. So I think that's the funny thing is, like, yeah, they're not the same Patriots, but they're also a Super Bowl contender.
And they're 8-3.
They're in the mix.
One conclusion I've come to, I am no longer jealous about the whole Josh Gordon situation because he does not look to me like the Josh Gordon – of old.
He's huge, though, for their team.
He's good for them, but I just don't miss him the same way that I
used to. No, he's not the guy that he was. But he last week especially, I thought he was a little more integrated into the offense, and I liked what I saw.
Not what you were looking for, the responses there, was it?
I mean, he's their number one receiver.
Mark wanted you guys to be like, yeah,
They got him for free.
Oh, we've been saying that.
He is not the same guy. Edelman looks good to me. Looks fast.
Hey, if you want to feel better about the Browns-Patriots trades, just look at Danny Shelton this year. What a bust that guy has been. So there you go.
I could have told you that.
I would like to see Baker Mayfield with Josh Gordon. I still don't think.
Oh, no, no doubt. But it's it's just that it's not like he's lighting up. I'm sure he'll probably be like the Super Bowl MVP 6 weeks from now.
He's a good starting receiver.
The San Francisco.
Not in my receiver. Mind.
San Francisco 49ers are 2-9. Like the Jets, it's kind of just a matter of get your draft positioning and, you know, get your quarterback on the field. For the Niners, it won't happen until next September with Jimmy G's knee injury. They're on the road against the Seahawks, who, after doing great work in the last 2 weeks, Wes, first against the Packers, then last week stealing one from the Panthers on the road. Here's a well-earned cupcake at home.
Oh, this is a legit cupcake. The 49ers are not a good team. Their O-line got whooped last week by Vita Vea and company. Vita Vea had like three or four tackles for loss. And
Vita Vea is what Danny Shelton wanted to be.
Exactly. Without Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin, you're asking Nick Mullins to throw behind a leaky offensive line to like a trio of slot receivers. This offense is shot right now outside of Matt Breida and George Kittle. And honestly, I don't know what – they don't have much to build on. That would – the drafts haven't been good.
No, this is like the week of reckoning for John Lynch, and I think it's early to go too crazy about it, but he's taking heat, and he deserves it. I'll stand behind Shanahan as a great coach and a great offensive
mind. Absolutely. If you lose him, people will line up to get him.
And Seahawks really miss KJ Wright. This is not a game that I think it matters, but I'm sick of them waiting to like fall behind to try to win the game and by throwing. It's like you don't have to fall behind by run pass for the first two quarters to do that.
I do think that Panthers Seahawks game was fun to watch, and that Russell Wilson performance was one of the best in a long time. And even though I thought all year like, oh, the Seahawks are kind of trying to make something on offense where they don't have all the parts, like, they felt weapons rich at times last week against the Panthers.
Tyler Lockett, Matt Harmon's boy, finally having his breakout year. A lot of fun to watch.
Let's move on. Sunday Night Football. Here's a good one.
Oofa.
Speaking of a reckoning, this is it, the Chargers. This is what we've been waiting for with the Superchargers. Here's the test. They're 8-3. They had that hiccup against Denver 2 weeks ago, but then they beat up on a bad Cardinals team. They're 8-3. They have a chance, outside chance to win their division. And if they did that, they could get a bye, and then who knows what happens. But here's your test. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 7-3-1. They are in their own building, Greg. They're at Heinz, and they're also coming off a disappointing loss. Where do you stand in this game? Who are you feeling good about this week?
I, like you, am so excited. This is what I've been waiting for. As like, we've been rooting on the Chargers here for a while. I mean, in this studio for 3 or 4 years to get to a point where they're legitimately at this level for a big game. They're going to be in primetime 3 of the next 4 weeks.
Right, they didn't put themselves behind.
I gotta admit, I don't feel like
they are set up well.
Yeah, and I don't feel a strong inclination that they're better than the Steelers. I think the Steelers are a little bit better of a team, and that they're at home. So if I had to choose, I would take them. But I do look to Philip Rivers sometimes for wisdom, and he wears this hat every week. He talks about it a lot, and it says Nunca Chepe, and that's Latin. But he says that's how he says it. That's the Georgia way to say it, and it's from the Bible. And it says begin again. After every interception, begin again. After every touchdown, begin again. And I've been just like watching this Chargers team finally try to put the past behind them, and they're living in the moment. And Chargers fans, the one that have stuck around, you know, Nunca Chepe, begin again. Let's make a new Chargers, you know, tradition in Los Angeles and win some of these tough games on the road. I want to see it.
I like it. I thought you were about to start a rain dance.
Oh, no.
A new tradition in Los Angeles by winning on the road. I like.
Well, that's where they're at their best. I just mean, like, with this, forget
that's
about.
That's how you complete 25 passes in a row.
Right.
By not worrying about what happened.
Forget
before.
About what happened in the past with this Chargers team. This is a new team, and it's really talented, and Joey Bosa's playing great. I don't know if they're better than the Steelers or not, so no, I'm not.
I think they can get over the loss of Melvin Gordon in for a week or two.
I would take
they have
the Chargers.
A great backup.
3.5.
Yeah. There's a narrative out there that the Broncos game plan worked against the Steelers offense that had 530 yards. Antonio Brown overthrew Jalen Samuels on a trick play that should have been a touchdown. Xavier Grimble lost a fumble that should have been a touchdown. Ben overthrew Juju Smith-Schuster wide open on a deep ball. James Washington dove for a ball that he could have scored standing up if he would have just ran through the ball. They left over 100 yards and 20 points on the field in Denver.
Damn.
The scheme did not stop what the Steelers were doing. The Steelers stopped themselves. Ben had a career-high 25 completions at halftime. And critics of Ben Roethlisberger and Baker Mayfield this week, shut up. Say you hate them. That's fine. Just say you hate them. You don't like them. You hate them. You don't like anything about them. But bending yourselves in all kinds of different directions to make points about them, Ben is 15-year veteran with 2 Super Bowls, and he's the quarterback. If he was to criticize a rookie receiver for doing something stupid, that's his job.
I did not click into a single one of them.
His job.
I thought you were talking about his interception or whatever, but I'm with you on that.
Don't compare him to a wide receiver criticizing teammates. He's the quarterback. He's been in the league 15 years. If you hate him because he's a bad person, that's fine. But don't tell us he's a bad leader because of that.
I thought you were about to lock it up or something.
And I'm locking it up.
Oh, yeah.
I want to give you one amazing stat.
Wait, for the Steelers?
For the Steelers.
I want to give you one amazing stat about these two quarterbacks, Rivers and Big Ben. Since 1993, when free agency started, 0.07% of players have remained exclusively with a single team for 15-plus seasons. Not totally shocking, but that is 16 players out of 16,586. Mm. And Big Ben and Philip Rivers are obviously two of them.
I
take that.
It is a fun matchup. I mean, it's great to see these two guys going at it. This is one of those I want to start the
pod early.
So
Rivers and Roethlisberger have been playing on their teams for a long time?
A long, long time. And, I mean, wouldn't Eli Manning be another one too?
Same draft.
I think he's
been there forever.
Evidence suggests he's a third.
Antonio Brown's not having an Antonio Brown season. He's 14th right now in the NFL. I thought it was telling. Vance Joseph said after the game they were determined not to let Brown beat them, and the Steelers still threw at him, and it did help them the way that they threw at him 13 times for 61 yards. He's been extremely inefficient, had way more targets than Smith-Schuster for the year, but has 200 fewer yards. And I think a lot is going to have to come down on Roethlisberger just trusting Smith-Schuster, who's getting it done, and their third receiver, because those guys are just getting easy matchups, one-on-one matchups.
He's got two tight ends on pace for 800 yards.
Right. Yeah.
One other Antonio Brown note. His numbers, by the way, are still very good. They're just not at that level.
As a touchdowns, yes.
He also is the wide receiver. He leads the league in targets, but also the receiver that's had the most uncatchable balls thrown his way as well. So has been some speculation.
I don't think he's playing bad. I just think it's not efficient because teams are sending two guys at him every single play.
Also, the monstrous numbers that Juju Smith is putting up are in some – degree because Antonio Brown is drawing so much coverage.
Absolutely.
Juju
is a star, though.
He's great.
Every 5 years, they find a new guy who's going to be there forever and be awesome.
I don't think James Washington's going to be that guy.
Keep an eye on the running back position on both sides. Obviously, Melvin Gordon out. James Conner, last three games, his numbers have kind of ticked downward. Is he going to bounce back and have a big game, or did he peak?
This is the game for him. Against the Chargers defense without Denzel Perryman, this is the game for him.
Monday Night Football. Well, let's pick that game, by the way. You locked up, obviously.
Locking up the Steelers.
I think Wes is going to win that lock. I think it's going to be Steelers, 28-24 type deal.
You know what? I want this to be – I'm torn. Damn it. Because I don't want the Patriots to get a bye, but I also don't think the Chargers will catch the Chiefs. So they're not going to get a bye. So I by that logic, even though I want the Chargers to win, I'm going to pick.
I'm just going to pick the Chargers now because that's what I want to happen, and there's no repercussions in this little pick section.
Not the pick.
I don't know if I believe it.
It helps.
I think
your
it could
Patriots
happen
too.
That's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for the Chargers.
All right, the Redskins are 6-5. A two-game losing streak has cost them their sole possession of first place in the NFC East. They travel to Philly to face the Eagles, Mark, who came back on the Giants, wiped out a fairly large deficit, but it is the Giants. It is the G-men, so you don't want to get too crazy. Eagles got to win this game to stay in the race, or it's bye-bye.
Yeah, and I don't believe in the Eagles at this point really at all. I think they're essentially capable of being annoying enough to do their part to ensure that we get someone coming out of the NFC East as an 8-8 playoff team destined for total implosion. So that does mean that they will win this week, and that does mean I'm going to lock up the Eagles that I don't believe in at all.
It's a mistake, maybe. But you know what? I think they'll probably win too, so it's not – It's a hard move to lock up a team you don't believe in. I've done that before, and then you kill yourself if it doesn't work out.
I think they're going to win. I almost went Steelers, but I also think this takes me out of any sort of emotional lock scenario on Sunday, which I did for the three of you.
Certainly does.
Oh, I like that strategy. But I don't.
It was a giving strategy. Mm.
But I don't really like the pick because I feel
well, Greg, where are we in the lock standings, you and me?
I'm doing terrible, but I don't like that pick because I look at the Redskins and I look at the Eagles and I see two very similar teams. And I know Colt McCoy, you know, tried a little too hard, trusted himself a little too much, but he also made some plays on Thanksgiving. And this is not the same Eagles defense that we saw earlier in the season. And most importantly, it's a different Redskins team than we even saw last time around. Jamison Crowder looks like he could be back. Chris Thompson looks like he could be back. Trent Williams, he's back. And I wonder, like, what Eagles team has Vegas been watching lately? Because they're a touchdown favorite in this game.
Uh-oh.
And the doctor, that doesn't smell right. The doctor's not feeling that. And I'm liking Colt McCoy again as a touchdown road dog. It's raining in Philly.
Hey, Dr. Rainmaker, do you take credit?
Here comes the rain again.
Oh, gross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Again.
Wait, here wasn't there a drought last time you picked Colt McCoy? Again.
Wait, so...
Are we
coming from totally different worlds where I say
Is
they're going to
the
win?
Guy that's been tweeting Erica?
I say they're going to win the actual football games. You say they're just going to do your little desert thing.
They're just going to cover, yeah.
Yeah, it was desert-like conditions.
It's like, actually, that happened last week. West won his lock, but the Giants came through in Philadelphia. Very similar rainy conditions where the Giants did their job.
One thing about the Redskins, this could come back to haunt me, but I think Adrian Peterson has slowed down over the last few weeks, especially laterally. I don't think he looks nearly as explosive as he did earlier in the year.
Not practicing today with that shoulder situation?
You want to jump out on that?
On what?
Like you abandoned Aaron?
No, I'm just saying what I see.
Mm. That's fair.
Don't Numbers let Dan.
Dan,
no,
you look very disappointed
Dan
with the
you.
Singing performance. You know, you were up in arms about that. Annie Lennox, so we got to get rid of her.
We still could get, yeah, there's still the music bed underneath. But I thought it was my favorite drop because I like to hear your singing, but I cannot say that I wasn't disturbed.
Can we isolate the voice and not the background?
I was a little...
I put it at the end. Ready?
Yeah. No, please.
Yeah.
Time.
You got to listen.
It was supposed to be one time. You put it on.
No.
Dr. Rainmaker, do you take credit?
Here comes the rain again.
But with that beat drop.
Here comes the rain again.
Yeah, it's like Greg just took his headset off. This is like the Delaware reunion tour. Here in the studio today.
Cars just flying off the road.
You should have seen his face recording it. He like faced the wall and he turned around so the cameras couldn't get him. And he literally had like
That's
one
not why
hand.
I did that.
He had one hand out and was literally singing.
What?
No.
You gotta get
I don't know about
if this
it,
ever happens again, you gotta make sure you
it's
get
never,
it.
I have
it's
like
never
his
happening.
Back.
Yeah. It's never happening.
All right, that's it. The next time you hear from us will be Sunday night. We'll recap all the games that we just previewed. Thank you to everybody for listening. Subreddit, go get a mirror. And that's it. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Stan Hansa signing off. For Quiet Storm, the mailman, the golden pipes of the old boss. And Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Be careful. Till Sunday night.
Hey, Dr. Rainmaker, do you take credit?
Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again. Here comes the rain again.